Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. As usual, we delve into the topic of psychology and understand how does mind work in different situations and in different areas of life. And in today's episode, we embark on a journey to explore intricate art of scaling for success. Scaling business is not just about rapid expansion. It's about laying down groundwork for sustainable growth and build a resilience. In this episode, we'll discuss how to uncover key pillars of successful scaling, from building a strong foundation and nurturing customer-centric approaches to streamlining operations and embracing strategic innovation. And that's why I have invited a great guest today. His name is Michael Lee. He's the visionary CEO of Reconcile.com, an award-winning platform that has redefined the landscape of online accounting. With his profound expertise in financial management and passion for empowering business, Michael has successfully led Reconcile to new heights of success, supporting countless entrepreneurs in their financial endeavors. So let's warmly welcome Michael Lee.
Hello, hey, Ambreen. Thank you for having me on. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor to have you with us today.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for everybody watching and joining in with us.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who is joining from across the globe. Please tell us that where are you joining from? And if you have any questions, please feel free to share your question and we will actually answer during our discussion. So Michael, I've just given a very little introduction, but tell us about yourself, that how you started your journey, what were the problems you faced, and how you end up here at this moment and to lead Reconcile. So just tell us a little bit about your journey.
I grew up to Cambodian refugees. My parents were refugees from Cambodia. They survived the killing fields and came to the U.S. in the early 80s. And so I grew up watching them and seeing them be business owners and entrepreneurs. I studied accounting and finance and went through a typical accounting and finance career growing up in small business. And then in 2016, while living in Burlington, Vermont with my wife, where she's from Vermont, I decided to help launch a platform. I wanted to launch a platform that could help not just small business owners in Vermont, but all over the country to be more successful. And if, as you know, running a small business is already hard. And the biggest part, the most challenging part for many small business owners is the finance side of their business. Not only capital raising, but just handling the money in a smart way and making sure it's recorded correctly and reported correctly. And so I wanted to launch a platform to serve and help entrepreneurs and small business owners throughout the U.S. And that's how Reconciled was born. And we launched that in 2016 from Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, that's inspiring. I mean, especially you grew up as a refugee and then you built your empire from there. So it is a great success, I would say, from starting from scratch and building such a big empire. So like you said that, you know, scaling is definitely not easy. Especially after, as we were discussing, that after COVID, a lot of people are driven to have their own business or to have more freedom. So they do start the business, but the thing is keeping it or sustaining it is not easy. So what do you think, what are the major obstacles they face? Do you think that they jump into the business too early, or do they need proper planning, or what exactly the main thing or main obstacle they face as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think it first starts off with the business owner, entrepreneur, determining first and deciding what are you trying to actually build, right? So for example, Most people who start, they want more freedom. Yeah. And they have more in control of their life, especially financially. Mm-hmm. So there are a few things you have to determine. Well, what are you trying to build? Are you trying to build basically a job for yourself?
Yeah.
Right? And so if you think of somebody who drives Uber or drives a rideshare, or somebody who is a plumber or electrician, they have freedom in the sense of they can decide when to do the work. They don't now work for somebody else. But you now just have a job for yourself. You're an independent contractor or a solopreneur, they call it. So that's one way.
Yeah.
The other thing, or you got to decide if you are building a lifestyle kind of business. Are you trying to build a business that just brings you enough income to stay happy and healthy? That's another kind of business. But the third kind of business would be a business that is scaling, where you are no longer the only reason the business exists, but it actually exists on its own, right? It exists on its own, whether or not you're involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that third kind of business is what I would call like a growing business, or an actual business. It's a business that's trying to sell. And it's something that it's an asset that I can then sell to somebody in the future, regardless of my involvement. And you have to decide which of the three you are trying to build. Now, there's a fourth kind, which is what a lot of people call startups. And those are a kind of companies where you raise a lot of money. You raise angel money and then venture capital money, and you try to grow it very fast with a large outcome for your investors. That's very rare. And most people in the world will never do something like that. Less than 5% or even less than 1% of US companies raise venture scale money. The rest of us, we use credit cards, bank accounts, our savings. We borrow money from friends and family. We invest together. That's most of us. And you have to first decide what kind of business are you trying to build? And that will answer the challenges you're probably going to face after that.
Yeah, I mean, you explained it so well, especially the four types, because many people actually confuse, especially the ones, as you mentioned, they have the job for themselves, especially the plumber or the taxi drivers or the Uber driver or something. So, but the thing is, the third type, I think that you mentioned, when they actually build a business, requires more effort, and I think requires more strategic planning. So if we talk about that kind of business, what do you think, what is the most important thing they need to have when they're starting a business?
Yeah, so the first most important thing is defining clearly for yourself what is the problem you're trying to solve and who are you trying to solve it for. Right. So what's the problem you're trying to solve, and who are you trying to solve it for? And the more specific you can get, the faster you can actually grow. The less specific you are, you might capture larger market share in the beginning, and you might capture more business, but it will be a lot messier in the beginning, because now you've got to decide which of these customer types am I actually going to solve for long term now. And so when we started kind of broad, saying we want to try to do accounting and finance work for anybody that will let us do it, even if it meant going to their office or going on site. Okay. As we continued to grow, we began defining the type of customer we really wanted to solve for and the type of customer we wanted to say no to going forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's going to be one of the first hurdles when you're starting out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you said, that especially I would say that when you decide to find out that what exactly customer you want, you also need to be present to make the awareness, right? So that is, I think, one thing that they face a bigger problem, that, you know, people who are the ones who have started their business, but reaching out the right audience is the main thing that, you know, is a one main, the first step, or which lays the foundation of any business to grow further. So what do you think, that how you I mean, as you know, that as you mentioned that, you know, we need to be very clear whom are we actually, who are our audience, right? Once we define that audience, how do we actually find that, the right audience, you know? Do we get it through the social media, or do we just go reach out, meet them in public, or, you know, have some referral? So what is the best way to create awareness about the business?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of ways. One is, obviously, everyone has a natural network that they can start off with, right? Yeah. Your friends, your family, coworkers, past places you've worked, past business associates. So when I started out, I let my network know. I went on LinkedIn, I went on Facebook and said, hey, I'm launching this new business. If you've ever worked with me, or if you know me and you want to work with me, if you can help me on this journey, and getting out there and sharing and talking about it with as many people as possible is one big step. And that's hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard. It's also scary because you're scared that, oh, what if people reject me? What if they say no to me? What if they think my idea is dumb? Here's the reality. Most people don't start their business or idea because they're out of fear. They don't do it out of fear. Yeah. They don't do it out of rejection. If you learn to be okay with the fact that the journey of entrepreneurship and small business is filled with a lot of no's, and it's filled with a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
But the only way to get used to that no and rejection is to start. And to get over that fear is to start. So you have to start and put yourself out there and be willing to put yourself out there. And if you ask anybody that's successful, whether it's a personality online, an influencer, or it's a small business owner like myself, or it's somebody running a scaling company like myself, they all started from scratch somewhere, right? And they all started not known, and they all were told, oh, your idea is ridiculous, or I'm going to say no to you. And you have to be willing to say, to hear that, because out of all the no's, there is going to be people that say yes.
Yeah.
And those people that say yes will surprise you. They will surprise you. You'll be surprised of who it is that will say yes. You'll be very surprised. And in that person is not in your mind right now. Like, you might not even be thinking about that person. They might not even be in your friend or family circle. They are going to be somebody you talked to once at a coffee shop, or you met at the grocery store, or maybe they go to church or the mosque with you. Like, there is something there, that someone out there, and there's a large audience out there that actually cares about what you do, because, again, most people don't do anything because they're afraid, and they admire the people that are willing to try and do something, and they'll be out there rooting for you. And just like, you know, your journey, I bet it's filled with people that out from all over the world that are rooting for you, which you would have never expected to happen, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one is, you got to start out by letting your network go know. And so that's on LinkedIn, on social media, and at family functions, at friend functions, and then everywhere you go, you let people know how excited you are about what you're trying to build.
Yeah, that's a wonderful advice you said, actually, because what I feel, and what I've actually, when I interacted with a lot of business entrepreneurs, what they actually complain that, you know, their immediate circle never actually supported them initially, especially their friends, their family. There were a very handful of the people from the immediate circle. They actually believed in them. And they were, out of even that handful of the people, there were only like maybe one or two who could actually supported them. And you are absolutely right that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who will support you and who will surprise you with that, you know, how they will support you and how they will appreciate your idea. Because I would just say that, you know, your vibes attract the tribe. So it's very much like this, that, you know, if, for example, you keep sharing and let other people know about your idea, and you will attract eventually the right people in your circle who will root for you, who will give you, who will support you wholeheartedly. So I think that's one very, very important tip that you shared. Okay, now moving on further. So as you mentioned that in the beginning, you said that having a successful business means you know exactly what you're offering, and you should be giving a solution, right? Rather than, you know, just selling a product. So here I would just like we'll deep dive that if you think about it, that if you giving a solution to your customer, so it would be more like a customer centric approach, right?
Yes.
You would be thinking about more from the customer mind. So how would you actually, what are the tips to have that customer centric approach instead of, you know, kind of selling a product approach?
Yeah. Most people who go into business or who come from a sales background, even, they assume, because they've experienced in most of their shopping experiences, they've experienced a salespeople who talk all the time. They just talk a lot, right?
Yeah.
A customer-centric approach assumes two things. One is the customer knows what they want.
Yeah.
And secondly, you can ask the questions and listen to what the customer wants. So what you have to focus on is being a good listener and asking good questions. You don't actually have to know how to pitch or sell hard what you're trying to solve for them. What you can do is show up and say, and this is what we've done at Reconciled, is every sales call we have, our 45-minute to an hour sales calls, we want the customer talking almost the whole time, and we want to be quiet almost the whole time. That's a customer-centric approach. So if you find yourself having to convince or talk most of the sales call, you have a problem. That means, one, you don't know how to articulate what your solution is. And or secondly is you haven't become great at asking questions and listening to the customer. You want to come to a place where it actually doesn't matter what your solution is. It only matters what the problem is that the customer has. Yeah. And then you can decide, does our product we're offering actually solve that? Or can I find the solution for them? Right?
Yeah.
So the ultimate solution provider, it doesn't really matter if they actually have their own solution. They have the confidence in the network to go, I will find you that solution. If I don't have it directly, I'm going to go find it for you, even if it means you don't pay me, even if it means you pay the other solution. So customer-centric selling really focuses on talking less, listening more, right?
Yeah.
And that's a skill that has to be developed and is not natural today for how much our culture pushes us saying, oh, you have to talk when you're selling all the time. Yeah. And that is not the case.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And like, as many people know, like, I'm a marketing research consultant. So here, what I usually do is, and basically a lot of, I get the query from the clients, and you know, then they need to do to conduct some research. They need to have a clear objective, and they need to know that whom they want to talk. Because again, like, you know, knowing your target is the foundation, like, and especially having the clarity what exactly you would be asking. This is one thing. These two things, like, if they know what exactly they want to ask from the customer, and who are their customer. If they know, they can actually find out the right solution. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, to be honest, asking the right question is not easy at all.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
And what I have seen, especially in the research, and what other research companies are offering, they're actually following the same template, same things. It's if they ask the same question, they will always get the same response, you know? Like,
right.
if you ask the customer that, what do you like about the product? You will only get what they like. But there are ways to go into consumer mind and ask actually what actually appealed to them. And there are different ways. I mean, we used a lot of psychological techniques to actually explore this. And you actually highlighted this point very beautifully, that asking the right question and then listening. That's another very important thing. I think in today's world, the major problem is that people don't listen.
No, don't listen. You're right.
That's the main problem. They actually respond to them, not listening to develop an understanding. So that's another.
The past 30 days, I gave my leadership team that challenge. I said, I want you to pick, and I give your audience that challenge. Mm-hmm. I want you to pick 3 to 5 people that you talk to the most in your life. Write down the 3 to 5 people. And the challenge for you is, for the next 30 days, every conversation you have with those 3 to 5 people, talk way less and let them be the one talking to you. Be inquisitive, ask good questions. And if you don't know the questions, Google for questions. You can look up icebreaker questions are great, right?
Yeah.
Or going deeper questions. Get a list of questions and focus the time on the person you're talking to and not on speaking to them. You'll see a dramatic change in the way people perceive you if you become a good listener. It's dramatic.
I know. Yeah, that's an amazing technique and amazing challenge. I think if they follow this challenge, I'm sure that their life will change because that's the major dilemma. I mean, I do provide a lot of counseling to the people. And when I actually listen to them, most of the time, they, talk about themselves, people when they come and say that they got hurt by someone and this and this. And they're I do ask them that, okay, think from their perspective, it's always important to understand what the other person is trying to say. It's not necessarily that they always want to hurt you, but it could be just a misunderstanding or something. You just need to understand. So that's wonderful technique that you share. So now moving on further, as your topic is to scaling success or scaling our business. One important thing that I find in scaling a business is to keep innovating, right? For example, and keep evolving, especially with the time. So what techniques do you recommend to innovate the business or to keep changing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for us at Reconciled, we had to go through that innovation multiple times, especially as the size of our business changed, right? What worked for your business when you're at just a handful of people and just starting out won't work for your business when you get to 12 people. And then that won't work for your business when you get to 25 and then when you get to 50 and 100. So you have to keep looking at your internal processes, the way you are organized, who is reporting to who, and where you spend your time as a business owner, especially. The other piece of innovation is don't rely on just yourself to figure out those challenges. You need to always have an eye on, if you're growing a real scaling business, always be recruiting. Everyone you talk to, assume that maybe somebody you want to hire now or in the future, no matter who you're talking to. And so that also means that always be hiring. Even if you're not hiring, you always are hiring. You're always vetting people. You're always trying to attract people to come join your journey and join your mission. Mm-hmm. And then when you're ready and you know you need that person, it's immediate. You know who to call, right? You know, for that role. So I always tell entrepreneurs, have the people. That also means you got to learn to delegate to these better people that you're hiring. In my journey, I've always assumed everything I do, I'm not the best in. There's somebody else better. And I eventually can hire that person. I eventually can attract that person, right? And usually for your business, there's really one area that you're going to be the best at. And generally that is the founding story, why you started your business, being an ambassador for your business, being the face or ambassador for your business, and repeating that vision and giving that clarity to your team and to the world. But are you going to be the best salesperson? Maybe not. Are you going to be the best manager? Maybe not. The best accounting person? Likely not, right? So you're going to hire those people or outsource those roles. And so you have to get then good at delegating and finding those people that are coming to come work for you. How does that deal with innovation? Well, that alone stops innovation if you can't be successful at that. If you can't go out there and be willing to transform the business and let go of the responsibilities you have. That opens up your time and eyes to see what is changing in the landscape of the industry that you're in, right? Yeah. And so that's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a wonderful, actually, advice, especially two things you mentioned, which is amazing. This, the first of all, having a network and be open to build a network, not at the time when you need it. For example, if you need, let's say, an accountant, and then you start looking for an accountant, it's not like that. Start meeting with the people, and then you pick out. Because what, as a person, like, you know, I would say that I'm a solopreneur because I do have like the work, freelancing, and conduct all these researches. So the project. So the thing is that we should know exactly that who is good at what area, and we might need them at any time. It's, you know, you don't need, you like meet with people and you don't have the that type of need when you're connecting with anyone. So I think that is one thing. And the second thing that you mentioned so beautifully, that when we actually keep ourselves free from all these mundane tasks, you know, or menial tasks, we are free to look at the opportunities and look at the landscape that is changing very rapidly, especially these days when I look at look around the way technology is evolving. You know, every other month or every other day, we get some like AI innovation that comes up, and you know, that changes the game, and that landscape is changing very rapidly. So I think it is very important to actually keep or match the pace of change, especially that what's happening in not necessarily in the same, I would say, the field. Let's say, for example, in the field of accounting as you are, or in the field of finance. But let's say if it's changing in the field of technology, we also need to match the pace to grow rapidly. Because I think one of the I would say the biggest obstacle or one of the biggest problem or hurdle entrepreneurs face is they keep following the strategy which is outdated, because you know, that's gonna hurt them more. If they don't evolve, if they don't innovate, eventually they're gonna be wiped out. So that's one thing that is very important, as you, and you said it so beautifully. Okay, so I think actually we have only 2 minutes to cover anything. So any other advice you would like to give to our audience to scale a business, to grow further through in an easy way, where, like, you know, I know it's not easy to scale business, because a lot of people, what happens, what I see is they are stuck in the routine job. You know, they've been like getting the clients, and then they're doing more like one project and after another, and that's how it is. They may have like a bigger magnitude, but they're not actually growing. In order to grow, as we talked about, they need to innovate. They need to have more people like this. And it's not easy. So what one advice would you give to our audience to scale successfully?
Start recording or documenting the tasks on your plate that are repetitive and mundane that you can have somebody else handle for you. Yeah. What's repetitive and mundane for you is exciting for someone else, right? Every job of an entrepreneur, they hit a roadblock and go, wow, I could save 5, 10, 20 hours of my week if I got this off my plate. And there's someone out there, one, that's excited about that, and secondly, actually would do it in less time than you're taking. Accounting is one of the examples, right? Accounting is one of the examples. And that's why we do what we do. We are very efficient at what we do. And we meet owners, it takes them 10, 20, 1,000 times more time to accomplish accounting than when we take it over. It frees their time up. So think about that. So it's up. Start documenting and recording what you do. You can do, you can literally turn on a Zoom video, record, or write it down, put it on Google Sheets or Word. And every time you repeat it, keep doing it. That's your guidebook. That's your instruction manual to go, hey, I can give this to somebody. You you take those instruction manuals, you go onto Upwork, Fiverr, you look for some labor, some cheaper labor that is excited to serve you in that way. And now you've started delegating and freeing up your time. Time is your most valuable asset. It's all of our most valuable asset. And we just don't know how to leverage it, most of us. And the only way to leverage it is if you document what's taking up your time right now and how you can either move that off your plate, or if you find that it's a waste of your time, get rid of it. Limit yourself on it. You know, so that would be a big key advice for people.
Amazing. Actually, this is my favorite advice, I would say, because I love writing. And you know, this is what actually I do, is especially because being a psychologist, when I face any conflict or something, I write it down. Because when you write it down, everything becomes so clear, at least to me. And whenever I help people, especially when they start writing, it becomes crystal clear that what you want and what you don't want. Even the process of when you're writing it down, it becomes mentally clear what do you want. So that's wonderful. One thing actually I wanted to ask, and I actually forgot. So as we start a business and we start recruiting people, there's one thing that we need to be careful is having a culture. So what do you think, what is your advice to have the right culture where people grow, where your brand doesn't get spoiled, and you know, to protect them from any kind of toxicity?
That's great. That's a great question. So I learned a long time ago that culture is really a set of defined behaviors that create that environment of the culture you want. So for example, I love this example. If I want to create a culture of cleanliness in my home, I have three kids. Okay. So what do you do? Well, you first start off when your kids are young. You say, okay, when you get out of bed, make your bed. Before you go to bed, put your toys away. After you eat dinner or after you eat a meal, pick up your plate, go to the kitchen, put it in the dishwasher, put it in the sink. Why are we doing that? Well, for a young child, you can't explain why. They don't understand why. It's as they grow older and they see, oh, the house is clean. It's always clean. When we have people over, they consistently say to us, how do you have such a clean place and you have three kids? It's because we created a culture of behavior that led to what we want, right? So as they grow older, they see, oh, I see why now my parents told me this. My room is always clean. I feel better about the place I'm in. Yeah. Same thing with your workplace. So for a founder, for a business owner, the way you can codify that is think about the perfect employee, the best employee you have. And if you don't have employees yet, think about the future employee you want to have. Okay. Mm-hmm. Write down the behaviors that you want them to portray. An example at our company is always be learning. That's one of our behaviors, one of our family rules. Mm-hmm. Always be learning. So it means that we want a culture of learning. We want everybody in the organization excited and always learning. Why? Because the jobs they have require them to learn new accounting software all the time, new industries all the time, and they have to be interested in learning what the entrepreneur does, the small business owner client does. So always be learning is a behavior we expect for everybody, and that's the culture we're trying to build. So that's the example I have to give, and hopefully that's helpful for everybody about
culture. Yeah, amazing. I think that's really good, and that's very relevant, that because everyone knows that we need to start the or to reward or maybe like to actually set some kind of a standard where the behavior the like people or employees or children, they need to follow certain, you know, they have to have certain standard they need to follow, and that's how we discipline the culture, the people, and to, you know, have their behavior. And that's wonderful advice. So thank you so much for your time and sharing amazing insights. I know our audience must have learned a lot today, especially about how to scale the business, and they learn about different things, especially the challenge that you gave to listen carefully. So yes, it was a wonderful discussion. So just tell our audience today that how they can reach out to you. What is the best way what is the best medium through which they can reach out?
Yeah, I am most active on LinkedIn. So look me up on LinkedIn. If you look up my name, you'll see a little fire emoji in front of my name. That's me. Or look up the CEO of Reconcile. That's me. And reconcile.com. You can find out more about the business as well. If we can help you out, we'd be happy to.
Okay, that's great. I think if anybody wants to have certain advice or some consultancy from for accountancy or some financial advice, so please get in touch with Michael. I have already shared your LinkedIn link and your website link on the comments, so they can click on it and they can get in touch. So thank you so much to all the audience as well who joined from across the world, shared the comments and listened to our conversation. Thank you and have a great day.